Thank you, Brother Schwartz. Praise God. Amen. Matthew and chapter number 9, and the end of the chapter, Matthew chapter number 9, and the end of the chapter. And I'm going to read a few other verses that, without your turning to it, but we'll read together here in Matthew 9 and verse 35 down through the end of the chapter, these four verses. And we'll read them together. Let's stand together out of respect for the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9, and these are familiar verses. Read them aloud with me together, beginning in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I read also for you in Psalm 126. The Bible says in verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 3, the Bible speaks of the joy in harvest. I want to use that phrase from Isaiah 9 in verse 3 and speak to you on the subject, the joy in harvest. Heavenly Father, please help me to encourage and bless thy people tonight. You've been so good to us today. Our hearts are full. Lord, you loaded us up with benefits today, and we praise you and thank you for it. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this church family. And thank you for so many who gave and who prayed and who taught and knocked doors and ran buses and invited folks. And thank you, Lord, that you used your people. And Lord, we know when you're lifted up, all men will be drawn to you. And may Christ be exalted in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel tells us, for those who turn many to righteousness, they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. You know, when you get to heaven, you'll be able to see, I believe, folks that were a witness for Christ and God used to turn others to faith in him and to that imputed righteousness of which I believe he's speaking, and as well as practical righteousness, helping somebody get saved and helping somebody live right. And I believe that we'll know that in heaven. They will shine like the stars, the Bible says. We came home for lunch, and Miss Shook fixed some spaghetti for us, and we had some good bread. Who gave us the bread? Sarah Basin gave us some bread. And let's see, where's Sarah Basin? Thank you, hallelujah. And I'm going home to finish the loaf tonight when I get home. But anyway, we sat at the table. I started telling her about somebody that had gotten saved, and I told her all about it and enjoyed telling it. Young man, 20-year-old young man got saved. She said, I knew that already. His grandmother texted me from Mexico and told me. And so the grandmother was watching the Sunday school hour. And so by the time she saw that, and she got to enjoy hearing about her grandson get saved. That was in the Sunday school hour. And it was a great joy to grandmother. I know he's been praying for her grandchildren to be saved. And my heart's full. I enjoyed hearing about those of you that are I've been winning others to Christ, winning others to Christ. And that makes my heart happy. And I was thinking about and meditating on that little phrase from Isaiah 9 and verse 3, which talks about the joy in harvest. And I said, you know what? I'm thinking about the joys of the harvest. And I thought about this. I thought, you know, there's the joy of affecting the atmosphere of heaven. The joy of affecting the atmosphere of heaven. Would you think about this for just a moment? The Bible tells us in Luke 15:7 that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. doesn't say that sometimes we say the angels in heaven rejoice. We say that, but we need to go back and read it. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. So the angels, listen, the angel, they stand around. I don't know this. This is chicology. This is not doctrine. But anyway, you know how you get thinking about it? I wonder sometimes those angels think, what are they so excited about? You know, they don't know anything about forgiveness. Personally, they don't know anything about redemption. Amen. They don't know the cross. It can't mean to them what it means to you and I, because our lives are changed. Our eternal destination was changed. We know what it is to be forgiven and to be saved. Amen. I'm sure they enjoy watching us enjoy our salvation. But it's just like, it's like eating a tomato sandwich with thick mayonnaise and toasted bread and salt and pepper. I mean, you got to put it in your mouth and try it. Amen. You just don't know. Taste and see that the Lord is good, the Bible said. So there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. And I believe that means this. I believe that means that the Father rejoices. I believe it means that God the Father rejoices over one sinner that repents. You say, how do you know that? Because right after that scripture comes the story of the prodigal son. And the father of the prodigal represents God the Father. And he sure got excited when one sinner came home. Amen. And I got to believe that God the Father rejoices when anyone receives Christ, his darling son, as their personal savior. I believe that not only the Father, but I believe the saints rejoice. Amen. I believe the saints in heaven rejoice. Now, the Bible calls them witnesses in the book of Hebrews. I don't think that they're preoccupied with everything that's going on down here. But if you're a witness, that means you can see and hear. And I do believe that folks in heaven can see and hear what's going on. I think there's some pretty awesome stuff going on up there. I don't think all their attention's focused here, but I have to wonder, I just have to believe in my heart that when someone that you knew and loved on earth, now you're in heaven and folks you knew and loved on earth come to Christ, well, God the Father got excited. I'm sure that's noticeable in heaven, amen. And I'm sure that the saints of God, and I think in particular those who knew a soul on earth, I believe they got excited too, amen. I believe they got excited too. I thought about George Mueller. What a great man of faith. Read his over a 50-year period. Over a 50-year period, he recorded on average 1,000 specific. Now think about this. On average 1,000 specific answers to prayer over a 50-year period. Now think about that. That's several every day, you understand, for 50 years. In that same amount of time, he read through the scriptures 300 times, do the math. That's once every 2 months he's reading through the scriptures. I mean, realize that the word of God and faith, amen, faith cometh by hearing, right? And hearing by what? The word of God. There's a connection there. But George Mueller made up his mind that he was going to pray for 5 of his friends to get saved. After 5 years, the first of those 5 friends came to Christ. On the 10th year, a second and a third of those 5 friends received Christ. George Mueller kept praying 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. In the 25th year of his praying, the fourth of those 5 friends received Christ. But he kept on praying for the fifth into the year 30 and the 35th and the 40th year and the 45th year and the 50th year and into the 52nd year. And George Mueller died. But 2 months later, his fifth friend got saved. Amen. Now you can't tell me that George Mueller wasn't excited in heaven. Amen. This joy of harvest, this joy of going out. And Jesus said, I pray we need laborers in the harvest. The fields are wide in the harvest, Jesus said. Oh, there's such a joy in being a part of the harvest. And I have to think that the joy of affecting the atmosphere of heaven, God the Father getting excited. I like that part of harvesting. I thought of this one here. Number 2, I thought about this, the joy of representing Christ. The joy of representing Christ. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for God, for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Listen to that. God did beseech you by us. God did beseech you by us. Do you know when you witness to someone, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, and you plead with someone over their soul, there's a God in heaven who said, I made you my ambassador. I made you my representative. And God, the word beseech means to beg. As though God did beseech you by us. In other words, we go and we plead on God's behalf. And when you invite a sinner to Christ, you're inviting on his behalf. And I think about what a joy it is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his ambassador. Listen, my dear friend, it's not me, it's not you, it's not technique, it's not some kind of trick. Hey, listen, we represent the King of Kings and we represent the Lord of Lords. And when we go humbly and we go in the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit and we plead with lost sinners, the Bible says we beseech on his behalf. And so God did beseech the sinner by us. I don't know about you, but I'd like to beseech on God's behalf. Amen. I like to plead on God's behalf. I like to think of the fact that I can represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And that to me is one of the great joys in the harvest. But you know, when you think about the joy of harvest and harvesting, you know, harvesting, it just doesn't happen on its own, does it? It doesn't happen on its own. And so I think about the joy of labor and reward. Many of you tonight are feeling that joy of labor and reward. And we heard it in your testimony. You worked the bus route. You invited folks. And you went out and so forth like that. You prayed. You called. You made sent text messages. And the Lord blessed. And the Lord blessed your labor. And the Bible tells us very clearly in Ecclesiastes, at least five times in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. This is the gift of God under the sun. And it says in very similar words several times in the book of Ecclesiastes, God put it in us to be able to invest and to labor and put our shoulder to the work and to get to see the benefit and the fruit of it. And there's joy in that. In 2 Chronicles 31, 21, we read the little phrase, he did it with all his heart and prospered. He did it with all his heart and prospered. Listen, the joy of the harvest, the harvest, you don't just wish for a harvest and get a harvest. You don't just wish and get a harvest. No, with the harvest includes heat and sweat and toil and plowing and weed pulling and sore muscles and back pain and raccoons and rabbits and deer and aphids and squash bugs and, can I get a witness, and slugs and a lot of other Japanese beetles and fire ants. Good night. I'm pretty sure they came right straight from the pit of hell. Amen. Oh, listen. Those things, when you bring in the bounty of the harvest and you get to enjoy the fruit of your labor, there's a joy in that. There's a joy in that. And the Bible said again that he did it with all his heart and he prospered. Can I tell you something? God does not give a harvest to idle men. God doesn't give a harvest to idle men. Ecclesiastes 9:10 said, if you do it for the Lord, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Colossians 3:23 says, when you do it heartily as to the Lord. Listen to me. God's work is heart work. Not hard work, H-A-R-D, H-E-A-R-T, heart work. Amen. Do it heartily as to the Lord. Put your heart into it. Put your soul into it. Weep and cry and pray and feel for people and love people and meditate on hell and get a desire in your heart. You don't want anybody to go to hell. Oh, there's the joy of labor and reward, of not being idle, but putting your hand to the plow and not looking back. And there's the joy of labor and reward. There's another joy I think of, and that's the joy of simply meeting the need of another. It happened just recently, and quite frankly, it's happened similar to this time and time and time again, and leading someone to Christ. And then they look at you after they get saved, and a big smile comes on their face. They say, boy, I needed that. And I think, man, I'm glad I got to be here. I'm glad I got to be a part of this. Boy, I needed that. Someone said to me, I can't believe, just recently, not just within a week or two, I can't believe you're talking to me about this. I can't believe you're talking to me about this. What was it? They had a need in their life, and God let me be there, and God let me enjoy the meeting of that need. I did not know one day, way back in the day, we were over here on 105 Tremont Drive, and a rental house that we were in the first year or two of our ministry here, time here. And she needed to go somewhere. We had one little car. And so she took the car, and I said, well, it's afternoon time to go knock on doors. I said, I'll just go in the neighborhood here, and started knocking doors down the street, down the hill, and knocked on the door, and a little two-story quadplex, I guess you might call it, four little apartments down there at the bottom of the hill. You can see them from the bypass. And I met Fran Black, and I got had the privilege of leading Fran Black to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I did not know Fran Black before she got saved, but I soon found out that a lot of people knew Fran Black before she got saved. And people would say, I heard Fran Black is coming to church. Is that true? I heard she got saved. Is that true? I said, yep, that's true. Amen. And she came. And boy, those early days with things is pretty tight. Brother Steve, you know. And they things is pretty tight. And she got saved and she started giving, and she was a generous giver. I said, hallelujah, amen. I'm going back down that fishing hole again. But I didn't know it. I didn't know how her life had changed. All I knew was her the day I met her, and afterwards it was as a born-again Christian. I didn't know she had quite a reputation. She was a supervisor at Energizer for years, evidently. And evidently she had quite a reputation. But God did. God changed her. God changed her. And she'd go down there to scoops, and she'd give out tracts everywhere she went. And she wore that. How many of you remember that straw Energizer bunny hat? Any of you remember that? All right, several of you. Some of you remember that. And an Energizer. And she wore that everywhere she'd go. And she was about as wide as she was tall. But she was a witness for Christ. And I remember She had a stroke one night. It was about midnight, and I jumped in the car and ran up to the hospital. I think it was in High Point. And she had a stroke, and she's laying in the bed. And doctor came in, said, wiggy toes. What year is it? She told the year. And the doctor said, who's the president? She said, Hillary. I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, she might as well be. I thought, she's going to pull through this one. Doctor went out. She's looking at the television screen, and the Wendy's commercial came on, Coca-Cola and a Wendy's single. And she said, Pastor, I'm so hungry I could lick that television screen. She had the dry sense of humor. But you know, God saved her soul. She's in heaven. Amen. I didn't know this at the time, but she had a stroke. And that's why she is home in the middle of the day. And she was aware that she needed something more in her life. And a little 25-year-old preacher knocked on her door. If you died, would you go to heaven? No. Would you like to go to heaven? Yeah. Can I show you how? You sure can. Oh, I'm so glad I get to meet needs. There's no greater need in a person's life than to be born again. No greater need. Oh, what a joy to be someone that God could use to meet an eternal need in someone's life. Here's another one. Here's a fifth thought. The joy of divine appointments. I don't ever get over this. I don't ever get over this. Listen, if you will daily beg for the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, if you will yield to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to fill you and ask Him to lead you, and if you open your mouth when the Holy Spirit gives you opportunities, I promise you He will begin to put divine appointments in your life. I'm absolutely convinced that God puts the folks that He's working on in the path of somebody that He knows is going to speak to them when He touches his heart. And I saw it again this week, and I saw it last week, and I never get over the joy of divine appointments. Never get over it. Never get over it. And sometimes God will lead you to say something that you don't even normally say. We were at Olive Garden, and this is some time ago, but we were at an Olive Garden, and a little waitress, she is so kind, and we began to talk to her a little bit about spiritual things, and somehow uh, she, uh, the the rapture came. We brought the rapture up for some reason. That's not typical. And asked her about her soul. And she said, me and my coworkers were just in the back a little bit ago talking about that very thing. You know about that? Yes, ma'am, we know about that. Oh, I said, would you like me to tell you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to go up there? She said, you could do that. Yeah. And she got saved after a while. Amen. You know what you call that? You call that a divine appointment. Amen. A divine appointment. I think, Brother Steve, I think you're the one that led this little lady to Christ, or the young man. I think it's a man. I can't remember which. Husband or wife, I don't remember. But I remember years ago going down Fayetteville Street here and drove past a little blue convertible Miata, and the Holy Spirit said, I was going north. I was coming this way, and they were going that way. And about where the Northgate Shopping Center used to be, and that's election place and so forth like that now. But anyway, and the Holy Spirit, they drove by me that way. A little couple of Holy Spirit said, you ought to witness to them. And I thought, now that's a random thought. I get these wild thoughts in my head, you know. And the Holy Spirit said, that was from me. And I was like, there it comes again. Man, I must be losing my mind. And the Holy Spirit kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. And I probably drove, I don't know, a quarter of a mile or whatever. And I thought, this is so ridiculous. They're going that way on the main road through town. I'm going this way, and the Lord wants me to witness. I'm going to witness to them. I said, you know what? I'm going to turn around and prove to myself that that was just a voice in my head and not God. And I went to the parking lot. I turned around. I came back, and that little blue Miata was sitting in front of an empty building. And the Holy Spirit said, see, I told you so. And this empty building, the door was open, and I pulled in right next to that little car, and I walked in, and this little couple's standing in this empty building, and they're standing there like this. And I said, excuse me, I'm a pastor. Can I talk to y'all? They said, yeah. They said, we were just standing here praying. I said, really, what are you praying about? We don't know which way to go in our lives. We don't really know what to do in our life, and we're praying. They had tried to make a business there and so forth, and it didn't work. And I said, well, before we pray, could I ask you, where are you going to spend time? And you know what? They came to church the next day. One of them professed faith, and both of them came to church the next day, and the other walked out and got saved. I'm pretty sure, Brother Steve, you led them to Christ, if I remember right. But anyway, you know what I believe that was? I believe it was a divine appointment. I believe God put me where He wanted me, and He put them where He wanted them. And that's joy. I never get over that. I never, 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 never get over that. Oh, how many times, time and time and time and time again, I've seen God do that. Divine appointments. Oh, don't miss the joy of divine appointments. And then there's this with the joy of sharing the bounty of the harvest. The joy of sharing the bounty of the harvest. You know what I love about soul winning church? You can only get saved one time. Amen. Eternal life is eternal. If it don't last forever, then it wasn't eternal. Okay? And everlasting means last forever. So I'm glad my salvation lasts forever. But I tell you what, sometimes I get so excited about the gospel, I think, man, I'd get saved all over again if I could. But you know what? When someone receives Christ, it's almost like I'm getting saved all over again. I get so happy that someone comes to Christ. I got to lead a young man to Christ after the service. And a fine young man. But he said, I want to think I would go, and I'm doing my best. And I asked him a few questions, and he said, I don't really know. And he let me share the gospel right out there on the sidewalk. And he bowed his head and received Christ as Savior. Can I tell you something? I don't get over that. Amen. There's the joy of sharing the bounty of the harvest. Let me tell you something. And it's not, by the way, it's not just getting saved. It's all the things that these precious believers are going to learn and things are going to experience. This morning in Sunday school, Miss Alicia stood up there and testified to the class. And yesterday she got to win. She got saved a year ago. And yesterday she got to win her first souls to Christ in the park. Somebody say amen right there. And on the way out, Miss Kathy stopped me and she said, Pastor, she said, all by myself, I got to lead someone to the Lord yesterday. Nobody was helping me. She was so excited. Can I tell you something? I got all excited again. I felt like I'd won my first soul to Christ. Amen. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. One of the men, it's growing up just by leaps and bounds in the church right now. He said to me the other day, he texted me, he said, Pastor, the book of Romans "Oh, Pastor." I'm like, "Oh boy, he's got some meat now. He's chewing on a piece of meat now." Amen. I got excited for him. Amen. I can't wait to chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that to whom you yield yourself service to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto right? Oh, I can't wait for the stuff he's going to learn. Amen. And when you see someone get saved and come to church and sit in Sunday school, and you see sometimes you see people and you can tell it's the first time they ever heard it. Never man spake like that man spake. And, it's the sweetest thing. There were some folks who lifted their hand the invitation today, and they didn't come. My heart's heavy for them. And by the way, let me just say this in passing. I didn't plan to say this, but please, please be so conscious. Please, church family, be so conscious. We're in invitation. Anytime you're in this building, God brings people. And you know why people come? Hey, you know why people come? They have a need. They have a need. That's why they come. And we got to be sensitive to that. And you have to say this, church family, I know it's Sunday night, so I can say it to this crowd right here. Let me tell you something. Listen, you ought to introduce yourself. Everybody that's around you, that's in your section, if you don't know somebody, you ought to introduce yourself to them. Amen? And be sensitive. And you can do it tactfully, you can do it tastefully, but you can do it kindly, but you ought to inquire about the souls around you. Hey, listen, you don't want to stand at the great white throne judgment one day and say, "Oh my goodness, that person sat right in front of me in church. I didn't even ask them about their soul. They sat right across the aisle, sat next to me, sat right behind me. And I said, I don't recognize them, but I didn't speak to them." Oh, the joy of the bounty of harvest. And turn to Psalm 126. I'll close with this tonight. Psalm 126. Y'all have worked hard this week, and I thank you for it. But I love this little verse, Psalm 126. It's a promise. And he said, verse 5 and 6 here, Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Would you read it aloud with me? Psalm 126, 5 and 6 together. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You know that little verse there, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Does that mean we're supposed to weep over sinners? I certainly think that's a good application of this verse. But you know, I think maybe there's a primary interpretation of the verse. And I think it's speaking of the joy of fruitfulness in the midst of brokenness. The joy of fruitfulness in the midst of brokenness. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What is it? It's the man. It's time to sow. It's time to cast the seed. But he's got a broken heart. And he's weeping as he goes. Maybe he lost a loved one. Maybe a sickness came into somebody he cared about. Maybe there's some brokenness in a relationship, a strain in a relationship. Maybe somebody he cared has gotten away from God and his heart's broken and he doesn't feel like sowing, but he sows even though he's got a broken heart. And he sows in his tears. He sows in his sorrow. He sows in his grief. Can I tell you something, friend? Let me tell you something. The harvest isn't white when we're on top side. The harvest is white right now, all the time. It is ready to be harvested. And the harvest doesn't just need to be brought in when we're on top side and we're feeling spiritual. No. The harvest is ripe right now. And you and I, oh, listen, there is a certain promise when we go even with a heavy heart and moistened eyes, and life isn't great, and life isn't all rah, rah, ree, ree, everything's on top side, and sometimes there's burdens that are carried, and sometimes, my dear friend, listen, sometimes the folks with the heaviest burdens who will go out and be obedient, even though your heart's heavy, even though it'd be easier just to go in your bedroom and close the door and stay inside and life isn't going the way you had hoped it would go. But you realize, wait a minute, there's something bigger than my grief. There's something bigger than my sorrow. There's something bigger than my circumstances. There's the souls of men and the needs of eternal souls. And I got to sow even though I weep while I sow. And the Bible said, well, you do that, you're guaranteed to come back with a harvest. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Friends, the harvest is now. John 4, he said, don't say, 4 months from now be time to harvest. He said, no. He said, right now the harvest is ripe. Pray for laborers. 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. People ask, they say, how do you know when it's your time? I say, it's your time right now. How do you know that, Pastor? But the Bible said so. Well, when's my time? Now. That's the Bible. Amen. Now is the time. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, listen, my friend. You know, I don't know. I hope this don't sound the wrong way. I love our church. Amen. I think it's the best thing since peanut butter. Amen. I love our church. I love the atmosphere of our church. And can I tell you something, my dear friend? If you and I will love Christ supremely, and after Christ, love the souls of men, I believe we can enjoy the spirit that God's given us here until the trumpet sounds. Amen. If we ever become a church that swallows this idea that the way to be close is to play together all the time. I like to play together. I like to be with the kid. I'll be with some of the young people this week. I enjoy being around them. God does some great things. But can I tell you something? You know, if you just, all you do is play together, after a while, you'll be scratching each other's eyeballs out. Closeness doesn't come by fraternizing. I'm for coffee. I like coffee just fine. But you don't get close by drinking coffee. Don't get mad at me. Churches get to the place where God's blessed them a little bit, and they got a building or two, and there's some people coming, and they turn into fellowship churches. I'm for fellowship. That's part of it. It's what we need. But there's something bigger. Amen. We have a mission. We have a great commission. And if we'll love Christ supremely and love the souls of men, then God's Holy Spirit will be all over this place, and we'll enjoy what He's given us. And I'd like to keep it. How about you? Till Jesus comes. Let's stand. Father, thank you so much for the joy of being able to partner with you in your harvest field. Thank you for the souls that were saved today.